You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Daniel, our new producer for the Friday Wire, has put together a package on the recent Supreme Court judgment that the voting age of 18 constitutes unfair discrimination. To learn more about the movement to lower the voting age, Daniel spoke to Make It 16 co-founder Sanat Singh.
Could you tell a bit about the origin story of Make It 16? How did it all start?
Yeah, for sure. So Make 16 started in 2019, in the backdrop of what we saw were huge student-led climate protests. So very much the conversation in 2019 was, how do we give young people the power and the ability to have more of a say in the world that they live in? And one of the ideas that a couple of people had that year in New Zealand was, look, let's try to lower the voting age to 16. And since then, so they started in the Youth Parliament of 2019, and since then we've launched a court case, which you can see. We've handed in a petition, and we've done a lot of grassroots advocacy work and a lot of lobbying. But we've grown to a nationwide group of young people who are advocating for the voting age to be lowered in a multitude of different ways.
What was the reason to start the campaign?
Well, the reason to start the campaign was, look, there are issues that young people are disproportionately impacted by. And furthermore, we know that young people are more than capable of making decisions. So that's why that group of people at that time, 2019, started the campaign.
Could you describe a bit about the path to this success? So could you describe the campaign work that you've done and how you got to this good result with the case?
Yeah, sure. So primarily throughout most of our campaign, we've had the court case that's been ongoing. So in 2020, we launched a high court challenge, which failed because that high court came back to us and said that the age discrimination, that there was age discrimination, but it was justified age discrimination against 16 and 17-year-olds. So then we went to the Court of Appeal in 2021, and they came back to us at the end of last year and said, look, the age discrimination is unjustified. There is no reason for us to prohibit 16 and 17-year-olds from voting. But they just stopped short on what the key piece was, which was something called a declaration of inconsistency. Now, a declaration of inconsistency would mean that the law as it currently is inconsistent or not adhering to the rights set out by the Bill of Rights Act in New Zealand. So in that context, in that frame, Parliament has to do something about it in order to make sure that our Bill of Rights Act is not abusing the rights that it sets out. So we then went to the Supreme Court this year. We had our hearing in July, and they've come back to us and said, yes, indeed, it is inconsistent. So now we have a really, focused fight in front of us with the new bill that the government is introducing, where we have to try and get 75 votes. But the more feasible pathway for us is trying to get the voting age lowered for local elections, which would only require a simple majority. In terms of the other campaign work that we've done, throughout this year, we launched a petition in 2021 as well, and that gained 7,000 signatures. We've collected open letters from local government members. And we've done a lot of work with Youth Parliament this year, where we had more than half, actually quite a bit more than half of all youth MPs this year saying that they supported lowering the voting age. So we do all of this stuff on the ground with communities and community groups, trying to run activities, workshops, do presentations, talks, speeches, to build as much support from the grassroots as possible. In the next few months for us, have a lot of lobbying, but a lot of that work is going to continue for us. Yeah.
What are the mechanisms in the campaign that make it so successful, do you think?
What are the mechanisms of the campaign? I think, look, it's really a testament to what we're campaigning for, right? Like, what we're arguing for is that young people are more than capable of making decisions and doing some really fantastic things. And that's exactly what we've been proving with our campaign time and time again. Young people are 16 and 17-year-olds are at the center of the work that we're doing, and they're spread across this entire country, and they're working with their communities day in and day out. They're advocating for their peers day in and day out. So I think the real success of this campaign is a testament to the fact that we're right, that 16 and 17-year-olds do deserve this right, especially if they're fighting for it with this much passion and zeal. Other factors that contribute to, you know, our ability to get across the line so far is very strong institutional backing. So we had a recommendation from the Future of Local Government that came across recommending lowering the voting age. The Court of Appeals also almost supported us. There's been a lot of global backing for this idea. So I think there were a lot of factors that are contributing to this sort of change in momentum, but the fight is not over. It still very much continues. We have a lot of work to do in order to get this over the line. But I think what's critical to understand right now is, you know, in the 1970s, when the Vietnam War was happening, countries across the world almost simultaneously lowered the voting age to 18. That was a global democratic shift towards giving younger people the right to vote. And we are now coming across yet another point in history where we recognize that there is a group in society that very much needs to have their voices heard. So what we're going to see over the next decade is a very similar thing to what we saw in the 1970s, where more and more young people across the world are going to be empowered with the right to vote.
How do you go further from this? So what future work is now necessary, do you think? So yeah, what's next?
What's next? Well, we have basically a six-month timeline with the new bill that the government is introducing. And that is going to require us to do a lot of lobbying work on the ground and, you know, internally to make sure that we can get enough votes on our side to make this pass or give us the best fighting chance. And that includes making inroads with the center-right parties like National and ACT. But there's a lot of work to do in terms of, you know, building a huge tide of public support so that the politicians are feeling the heat from their electorate. So we've got a lot of work to do in terms of going into our communities across the country and bringing people together and getting them to advocate for lowering the voting age alongside us.
That was Make It 16 co-founder Sanat Singh. For some more insight into how the movement might affect parliamentary politics, Daniel also spoke to Green Party MP Golriz Gaharimam.
My first question is, why is it time to extend the voting age to 16 and 17 years old?
It's time to extend the voting age to 16 and 17 year olds because we have just found out from the Supreme Court that in fact we've been breaching their rights for decades by preventing them from voting. So the Bill of Rights Act in New Zealand says that 16 and 17 year olds have a right to be free from age discrimination unless that's justified. And Make It 16, the group, the movement, has gone all the way up to the court, to the Supreme Court, and it's been found that there is absolutely no justification for limiting their right to vote. But more than that, it has been a movement that's pointed out how very engaged young people are, how young people are, in fact, affected by all of the policies that politicians, Parliament passes, from mental health care to climate to, you know, roads and transport and education, but they don't have that right of that one vote for their input.
What would be the positive effects of lowering the voting age, do you think, on democracy or on young people?
Yeah, so the more of us that are engaged in voting and the more responsive that Parliament and governments become to every different kind of voter, the stronger our decisions will be. So when we think about mental health care, for example, young people are having a very specific experience in terms of how they can access mental health care versus someone that's more established, someone that's older. The elderly have a different experience too. When it comes to public transport, it's the same. When it comes to ideas of climate justice, young people are the people that will, you know, for the longest time, reap the benefits or experience the failures of decisions that get made today. And in terms of democracy itself, what we know is the more you get people to register to vote and vote in the very first election when they become eligible, the more likely they are to continue voting and for voting to become a lifetime habit. So one of the experiences of countries who have extended the voting age to 16 and 17-year-olds is that you get people when they're at school with civics education to learn about voting, to enroll to vote together when they're all there. And at 18, we know that a lot of people have already left school. Some people are at university. Some people are in work already. Some people are starting families. So it's harder to get everyone to ask their questions, to have that that experience of sort of enrollment as a group and to actually have civics education have an impact. So it will mean that we'll get higher rates of enrollment and higher rates of voting for a lifetime. It's not even a young youth voting issue then. It will mean that we have a more thriving democracy for generations.
Do you think the parliament will accept the extending of the voting age and why?
Well, I had a member's bill, or, you know, democracy is, you might have noticed, something that I'm very passionate about. So my member's bill, my one bill that we get to put in as ordinary members of parliament, was on strengthening democracy. And part of it was extending voting to 16 and 17-year-olds. That was voted down by the government and the Labor Party position then, so just a few months ago, was that they don't support extending the voting age to 16 and 17-year-olds. For this to even have a shot, it will mean that the government will have to change its position, and Labor is meeting today, the Labor caucus, to decide whether it will change its position. But more than that, we'll need a 75% majority in Parliament. So even with Labor, Te Pāti Māori and the Green Party, we won't quite get there. So we have to hope that the opposition, the National Party, ACT is pretty out on this one, will change their position too, or at least that it will go to a conscience vote and some members will support it and it will get through that way.
Do you think it will change for a local government? Because for local government, it's a 50% majority. Will that change, you think?
Yeah, so that's another thing that we're calling for. That's definitely something that, when local government legislation was coming through, I put in an amendment that was again voted down. But this is the other pathway, is at least if people are nervous because it's going to destroy the world or whatever, with 16, 17-year-olds actually learning about democracy, they could start with local government. And the Local Government Act only needs a 51% normal, ordinary, simple majority to have this amendment in it. And again, this is something that's happened in other jurisdictions. You know, it's happened in the EU, in Scotland, in Canada. It's not that revolutionary in New Zealand kind of risks falling behind modern democracies by continuing to breach this right. And I mean, this is a group that actually works and pays tax and can leave school and drive and have sex and get married, and we're still denying them the right to vote.
The voting age will get lowered. How do you think the processes in Parliament will change?
Well, hopefully with more people enrolled to vote from a different demographic that we never had before and we never were answerable to before, we will have a Parliament that takes account of the interests of young people in a different way. But it could also mean that more young people actually run, stand for seats in Parliament to have their voices heard in a much more substantive way by making it in and sitting at that decision-making table. It's certainly not the case that young people all vote the same. You know, people talk about that they all vote left, but it's absolutely not the case. And, you know, from campus groups, you can see every political party has a campus group. So it could really change the shape of every political party. And certainly my hope is that it will at least make politicians much more responsive to the voices of younger New Zealanders.
Some people against extending the voting age could argue that young people are not informed enough, too immature, or lack enough life experience to vote. What would be your argument against a position like that?
Yeah, it's funny because the same arguments were made against the right to vote for women not long ago. And of course, New Zealand is the first place where women did get the right to vote. But the idea that women weren't informed enough, not smart enough, not educated enough, what those arguments ignore is that every demographic has the experience it needs of its own interests, its own experiences, to have its voice heard. That's what democracy is made of. We don't require 18, 19, 80-year-olds to show that they have a certain level of education. We take it as a given that our life experiences, whatever walks of life and whatever age we are a marker of our needs, and that, you know, politicians that are governing the nation should actually be cognizant of that. It's exactly the same for 16 and 17-year-olds. Nobody knows what it's like to be a young person in New Zealand today better than young people in New Zealand today.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.